Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Yes, they have centuries worth of experience in there. They really do. What an insurance agency they are. They take great care of you. The customer's number one. They'll find you the best insurance, the right price, across a wide swath of selections. And if there's a claim, they jump right in. That's the kind of insurance partner you want. Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Later in the week, Phil Steele is going to join us on the show to talk college football on Thursday. And Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, will join us on Friday. Other than that, another thin week. We specialize in thin, Sean.
We do.
Yes, we specialize in it. Good to hear your voice again.
Great to hear you, sir. You sound well-rested, energized, and ready to go. Hope you had a great vacation.
We did. We had a great time.
Awesome.
We had a great time. Had all four grandchildren with me there at the same time.
Well, I know you were looking forward to it, your first time to get everybody together since the youngest one walked down the aisle close to 2 months ago already. Time's flying.
Oh, we had really good time. Really good time. And now back in the saddle, and football began yesterday. You have acclimation periods early per NCAA rules, so that goes through acclimation. But, you know, I mean, training camp's different now. Practice is different now. It's something that is become more and more important. When I see a John Urschel retire, that says a lot to me. That says a lot. Because I know how much John Urschel loves football. I know many who don't know John look at him as the math genius, the intellectual, the man in search of his MIT doctorate. I understand that. And I completely understand why people would think that, because that is an important part of who he is. But football has been an important part of who he is. John's always told me how much he loved football. And I think what happened was after that CTE data came out where they examined 100 brains of NFL players and 99 of them either had or on a fast track to CTE, I think that had a big effect. John Urschel is too smart, and John Urschel is very aware of what the mind is capable of, to have it taken away. And I don't blame him. But when I see something like that, that was a big thing. Which now brings me back to practice. Practices are different now. You remember the opening segment today with Matt Leon? I asked him about practice and the lack of hitting in practice. I mean, you know, we're talking like, you know, let's go scrimmage, full pad, whatever. You know, I mean, you're allowed to scrimmage. I mean, but in the Ivy League, once you get to the season, there's no contact until Saturday. In terms of like, you know, you can do pass thud, you can do tag off. There's things that you can do. But it all started with Buddy Tevens at Dartmouth. It turned out Dartmouth still won the title by doing it that way, and the Ivy League then adopted all of it. And as Matt said, what really helps Penn, because he broadcasts Penn's games, what really helps Penn is that everybody else is playing by the same rules. Now, in college, you're allowed, during the course of the season, two contact days and then the game on Saturday. In the Big 12, they do one contact day and the game on Saturday. At some point, Sean, I predict that they're going to make everybody do one contact day and the game on Saturday. And I think at some point down the road, within the next 10 years, they're going to tell everybody to play by the Ivy League rules with no contact during the week, with contact only on Saturday. It's interesting. Now, do you need a lot of contact during the course of the week? I'll tell you where the only place where I see it suffering in today's game, there's only one spot I see it suffering in today's game, and it usually is in the opening three games of the season, Sean. And what do I see suffering? Tackling. Tackling usually in the opening three games, two, three games of the season. It takes a little bit to, you know, because, I mean, you're trying to do catch and release, in other words, wrap and let go. Or you're doing tag off where you're putting yourself in position. And I think you do see across the board, not just Penn State, everybody, where some of the tackling is every once in a while can be a little bit spotty, and you'll see more broken tackles early in the season. But once you get past the third game, at that point you've tackled enough because of the games. That's where I see the difference. No two-a-days. I am perfectly fine with that. I've always been perfectly fine with, because, I mean, I've seen a transition over the years away from two-a-days already, just naturally. I mean, Penn State really can't do two-a-days anyway. Penn State, you know, the players are still in class right now. So you're not going to do two-a-days when they're still in class. Then they only have 1 week between summer commencement, which of course is the end of finals, and the start of fall semester. So Penn State only had like two or three two-a-days scheduled anyway. That was it. And James Franklin did not take advantage of the 3 days because he knows he's smart. I thought last year's preseason, he handled it brilliantly as to the combination of how much hitting he did, the pace he went at, the time he gave off. I thought he did a great job of managing all that last year. That was really good. And I told Jack Ham before the season, I said, it's going to make a big difference. And I thought at the end of the year, last year, Penn State was a really fresh team. I think that makes a big difference. I just look at what you know, how they've handled it. I think they know how to handle it. And there's only so much. I mean, the way practice is going anyway, across the board, I'm talking about for everybody, there's going to be greater and greater concentration on how much practice hitting is done and how much is deemed necessary by those who make the rules. I mean, everybody's going to play by the same rules anyway.
When the Ivy story came out a few years ago about, you know, practicing with hardly, you know, little or no contact at all, I wonder if the older football purists out there were kind of laughing and scoffing about it, but then behind closed doors they're thinking about it. Yeah, you look at the overall long-term picture as to how football is going to go, that's actually pretty smart.
Well, I think what really helped get that point across in the Ivy League is that Dartmouth started it. I want to say Dartmouth started it in 2011, 2012, and they still won the Ivy League championship. And I think because they did without doing it, I think in practical application, that made a point that you can practice in a certain way and still be good and ready to play in the games. Now, I realize we're talking the Ivy League, but it's all relative. I mean, just because it's the Ivy League, you know, you're still going against comparable competition. And I think that the ability of, you know, you keep it even across the board, then it's not an issue. Everybody's doing it the same way. The one area in college football I think you would suffer is that I just think in the first two, three games of the season, just to get practical application tackling. Now, but it's not like you don't tackle in practice. I'll give you an example. Penn State doesn't have this. But have you ever seen the commercial, because I've actually seen it done, with the movable tackling dummy? Ever seen that, Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, where are you going to get hurt doing that? And I know Joe Paterno would, in terms of tackling, I mean, he'd get to a certain point on Thursday, so we're going to tackle the stick. That's what they called it. Well, that wasn't any contact. They didn't do, I mean, Penn State on Thursdays did zero contact. I've never once seen Penn State do contact on Thursday, ever. I'm talking about in season, of course, ever. I think that it's just been a realization over the years on everybody that's involved in this that you can do this with less and less contact. But there is a fine line in the game. And the fine line is this. I know people talk about it being a violent game. I disagree with that. I don't look at football. I think I look at football at the pro level in certain aspects as being, quote, a violent game. And the reason I do is that the speed on the professional level is so profound. I mean, you look at the speed with which a defensive back attacks a receiver. You look at the speed at which a running back attacks a linebacker. I mean, the pure speed of it at the, quote, so-called skill positions has made it at times a more violent game. The times that you see a safety hurdle himself at someone trying to tackle or knock them down by hurdling themselves. And they're doing it at great velocity because of the speed they have. College and high school, I don't see that. I don't, you know, it's not, you don't have the series of violent collisions on high school and college because you don't see that for the most part. I mean, how often do you see a guy go out and just hurdle himself in a high school game at somebody? And believe me, when they do it, they're doing it at much less, a far less speed than they are in the pros. It's like the person that gets into a race car and has never driven a race car before. They hit the accelerator and they're going around the track and they think they're blazing an incredible trail. They've never driven this fast in their lives. And they look at the tape and realize they're not going fast at all. It's all perception. On the pro level, you see guys, I mean, at the pro level, it can be a violent game. Not so much on the college level, and definitely not so much on the high school level. I think they've been smart about what they've done with concussions. Concussion protocol now has been in place for some places. I mean, here it's been in place for a long time here. I mean, concussion protocol has been in place here for a long time at Penn State. I'm going to guess at most other places too, but I can tell you Penn State's been in for a long time. And how they practice is different now compared to 20 years ago. I mean, I remember, you know, let's go back to Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno, as time went along, did much, much more pass thud. And pass thud is rap and release. There's nobody that is taken to the ground in pass thud. Joe did a lot of pass thud. That's why I always, to be honest with you, at times laughed out loud during the Bill O'Brien era, where I'd hear Bill get peppered with questions about, you know, because Bill just openly talked about, well, you know, we'll do pass thuds and things like that. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, Joe did the same thing. And pass thud. And Penn State wasn't performing well because they were doing pass thuds and they weren't tackling enough and the whole thing. And that had been a standard practice here for a long time. The difference was Bill happened to mention it. And he kept getting, kept thinking, why are you getting asked questions about Pass Thud? I mean, seriously, I would sit there and think to myself, again, what I think is common, I've got to remember sometimes, is not common knowledge to other people. I've got to remind myself of that sometimes. And I would be sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are they asking about Pass Thud for? Pass Thud's done all the time here. Been, like, they acted like Bill invented it. And Bill just did what he was always doing. You know, Bill had a great career before he came to Penn State, and he continued doing it here, and then he continued his great career with the Houston Texans. I mean, Bill did great, great stuff here. But he didn't reinvent the wheel in some areas either. And the same thing, I mean, James does Pass Thud, he does tag off, things like that. It's important to keep guys fresh. You've got to get some hitting in. That's why you do have preseason scrimmages. That's why you do have some competitive periods along the way. But that is... I think that's a big plus. And I think for the game, we're in an interesting spot right now. I want to talk about the soccer phenomena in a moment and if it has any impact on the future of football, a sport that I love so much. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. It's interesting, we've heard about the phenomenon of soccer growth in this country, but you know what? We've heard about it for 40 years now. I remember back in the 70s, in the early to mid-70s, where everybody's going to be playing soccer in the North American Soccer League was popular and the Cosmos were selling out then Giant Stadium and the North American Soccer League expanded all over the place. Pele was playing in the league, Franz Beckenbauer, Giorgio Canalia, Shep Messing. I mean, they had players in that league. And, you know, it's going to be the hot thing. And I remember when I went to high school, back during Prohibition, some of the guys that would have been our best football players played soccer. And that was a really popular sport for people to go to. In my high school, we were pretty good at soccer. Should have been. We had some of the better athletes in the school playing it. But you know what's interesting about that is that everyone had predicted this great phenomenon about what soccer would do and football would slide back. Football got more popular. Soccer is just kind of... stayed on a plateau, even though you've got a lot of young kids playing soccer. It's had all the advantages. The U.S. women's soccer team has won World Cups, World Championships, Olympic gold medals. Okay. The men's soccer team has been, up and down. I mean, just good enough to get in, not good enough to advance. They've had the World Cup here in the United States. And I know there are a lot of young people that are out playing soccer. But, MLS is doing well, it's still losing money, but doing well. The Premier League TV ratings are actually way off this year in this country. Premier League starts again in 2 weeks. But the NBC and Fox ratings for Premier League were not really that great. They fell back this year. So even though we see the phenomenon of soccer among young people, it's a great activity for people to get in. Especially young people to get in. They get to run around, kick the ball. It's great. I don't think it's really made a dent in high school football. In fact, I think if there's any sport that's made any dent overall for anything, it might be lacrosse. A lot of people playing lacrosse now. It's become very popular. There are no simple answers to what football can do when it comes to the issue of CTE. There's no simple answers to it. And it's not as if CTE can't happen in soccer. because, again, of the, I think in part because of the volume of young people playing soccer, there are actually statistically more concussions in soccer because of heading the ball or incidental collisions without headgear than there are in football. There's actually a greater number of concussions in soccer than in football. All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You want to find the best insurance that fits you. You want to make sure it's at the best price. And you want an agency that believes customer service is absolutely number one, that you are not a number. They develop personal relationships with their customers. And by doing so, that relationship part is so important because they know you, they understand what your insurance needs are, and if something happens, they're going to go to work for you right away. It's all part of that special personal relationship they try to develop with all their customers. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Sports bozo of the day. He's been here before. We can guarantee you it won't be the last time. The forever outspoken LeVar Ball says he could beat Michael Jordan in a game of one-on-one. Jordan eventually caved when he was asked to make a statement about it, and he didn't hold back. He says, you have to understand the source. I think he played in college, maybe. He averaged 2.2 points a game, really? It doesn't really deserve a response, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because you asked the question. I don't think he could beat me if I was one-legged. Smelling another chance, by the way, to promote himself, Ball went on ESPN radio to talk about a potential one-on-one game with Jordan. However, he surprisingly walked the comment back a bit, saying it was all in the name of entertainment. Of course, he's LeVar Ball, and he did say he could beat him one-on-one in response to the one-legged comment. Look at everybody, man. Everybody used to say, you know, I think Will Chamberlain is better than Shaq. I think Oscar Robertson is better than LeBron. Now the story is LeVar is better than Michael Jordan. Ball told the really big show on ESPN, 850 WKNR in Cleveland. Come on, I didn't even play basketball in the pros, and they're talking about me and Michael Jordan. That's what I'm talking about. He tells me he can beat me with one leg. Well, guess what? I can beat him with one hand. Now we both can look like we belong out there and can't play. He said maybe we can do this for pay-per-view. What? Great. Would you pay to see that one-on-one pay-per-view?
No.
I mean, I don't even think Lonzo Ball would pay for it. I don't think Lonzo Ball would pay
for
it.
What a fun precursor to Mayweather McGregor, wouldn't you think? No.
What are you talking about?
Go sell some shoes. Go move some product. Yeah, how's that working out?
Yeah. Now you sound like me with the suit.
Go move some product.
Go move some product. By the way, the suit did send me a text yesterday. I did not respond.
Oh, okay.
He says he now has 11 years to get ready to be one of the announcers for the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. I didn't know how to respond.
Well, if it doesn't happen, it's on him. Had time. Lots of sports to call.
Well, he just did the baseball tournament, right?
He did. Did a fantastic job. Yeah, with the Seawinds Grove Little League Majors, 11 and 12-year-olds making their way to the state tournament. Unfortunately, went 0-2.
Yeah.
But the Seawinds Grove Juniors also made a nice little run in the state playoffs as well. So baseball in Seawinds Grove, yeah. A nice deep run in the postseason, which hasn't happened in a very, very long time.
Yeah, very nice. And then, of course, he's bullied his way back into Shikellamy football.
Yeah.
I mean, all these great qualified people, one after another. All right. Suddenly, out of nowhere, we're getting flat tires. I mean, missing job interviews. I mean, Dave Ritchie's cry for help goes by the boards. So, but yeah,
I'm glad you brought up Dave Ritchie. Congratulations to the Chief, Grandpa again.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Courtney
I'm
with
so
another
happy.
Kiddo. So,
oh,
yeah,
congratulations.
Facebook photos. I think she posted them last night. So congrats to the Chief
great.
And the family.
I bet the Chief's a great grandfather. Yeah. Now, between now and then, now the suit's obviously covered a lot of track lately. Not what you call it a really high level, but I mean, he's, you know.
Or witness some.
Here's the javelin. They're playing Chariots of Fire as it goes through the air. Okay.
Pretend it's in slow motion.
It was. It wasn't, so I didn't have to pretend. You and I were going to go over the track meet that one day. Remember that?
We tried. We were hoping to make it happen. We were.
And he wouldn't give us the location. I'm wondering if it was a ruse. So he says he has 11 years before the Olympics come up. 11 years. And for the Olympic Games, this is a big bailout for them to get Paris and Los Angeles lined up in 24-28. They don't have a 26 Winter Olympics site yet. And so it's a big bailout for them that this was able to happen. Now, how Los Angeles is going to do this, I don't know. Because California's broke. I mean, they have spent themselves into the ground. And I realize they'll try and get as much commercial and corporate sponsorship as possible to make a difference. But when you hear that McDonald's might be getting out...
That's massive.
Hey, that's huge.
They've been involved with the Olympics for decades, too.
Absolutely. I mean, suddenly out of nowhere, the suit started eating Wendy's. I mean, somebody's like...
But you wonder if it's going to cause a trickle-down effect, because then you have Coca-Cola and right on down the line.
Well, I think they've got decisions to make. Because you feel like at London, they peaked. Well, the London Games were pretty successful. Now, London lost money, so let's understand that. London lost money. But in terms of the TV ratings, the interest in it, now I'm talking about the interest level and the ratings. They did pretty well. They didn't do so well in Rio. They didn't, Sochi, eh. I mean, the one coming up in February, eh. Let's have the Olympics near the demilitarized zone, really? Right now, there are not a lot of people wanting to flock to South Korea at the moment. Gee, I wonder why. I don't know. So I think they got bailed out with this Paris LA thing. Because I don't see anybody else bidding. I mean, you notice the next three are all in the Far East. South Korea, Tokyo, Beijing. I mean, that means the next, and with Paris is what, 6 hours ahead of us? 6 hours ahead? That means in 11 years, until we get our first live Olympics in this country. 11 years. You might get a little bit alive out of Paris a little bit, but there's 6 hours ahead of us. You know, I'm sorry, but in 2028, you're going to tell me you're going to do the Olympics on tape? I mean, 2024, you're going to tell me that you're going to do the Olympics on tape? Really? Tape? But the suit was all excited. He sent me a text yesterday. He also sent a second text looking for money. I mean, it's like, no, what are you doing? Sports is going to be very interesting to see where everything goes in this country because this is a critical season for the NFL, as they pointed out with Tony Knopp the other day when we had him on the show. Everyone talked about the ratings being down last season. And then because of the election, and then bouncing back after the election and finally finishing 8% below. Well, there's no election to deal with this year. So what will the ratings be this year for the NFL? Do they continue a downward slide, or is there a little bit of an uptick that would show that last year was an aberration? And there are a lot of issues with this. Now you cannot ask the NFL to have a better situation than what they have. They have Tom Brady and the Patriots winning. Now, whether you like them or not is irrelevant. There are people that watch the Patriots with the idea they want to see them lose, and there's some people that love the Patriots because they want to see them win. The Dallas Cowboys, as popular a franchise as there is, they're good. The Pittsburgh Steelers, as popular a franchise as there is, they're good. I mean, they've got some of the Green Bay Packers are still very good with a great quarterback. So they have some of their signature franchises doing really well. It's not like the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the standard bearers here. It is the New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys, the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are four of the better teams in the league. So they actually have teams with a level of popularity that are doing really well. If you notice last year, that the Cowboys ended up being on TV a lot in the flex period. I mean, they know. They know. Speaking of the Steelers, we'll have Ray Fittipaldo on the show tomorrow, the Steelers beat writer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, an old friend of mine. He covered Penn State for years. Ray's a good guy. Really good writer. Phil Steele on Thursday. Jim Delaney on Friday. And no Olympic coverage till February. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Look, football's a great game. It teaches so much. I mean, sports in general does. I mean, it teaches teamwork, camaraderie, discipline. And I think right now they're trying to come up with as many solutions as possible to make sure that the popularity of the game keeps going the way it is, while at the same time trying to make it safer. Now, is making it safer taking away from the popularity of the game? I don't know. I know that having the monitor in the NFL, at first I was like, oh, what are you doing this for? They have control over taking people out, but you know what? The heck with the liability part of it. I just think that's really, really smart. Really smart. Where they can take a look at, you know, and take a look at you during the game to make sure you're all right. At first I was skeptical, like, what? They have the ability to take somebody out? That's the old line, old-fashioned me. Now, I look at it and I realize, boy, you know what? That's a smart thing to do. Because I want to preserve the game and protect it as much as possible. You see, Goodell also said the outdoor Northern Super Bowls are over. They're done. Not going to happen. He was at some fan forum. I think down in Baltimore, and he was talking about this stuff.
Kind of ironic, since the next Super Bowl will be played up in Minnesota.
That's indoors, though.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's indoors. I mean, it's... but he was talking about the Giants Stadium thing.
Yeah. Well, it worked out good for you. We got great coverage out of it, and you're able to get there for media day, but...
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of stuff on the show.
We did.
It worked out great for us.
Got a great Hank Azaria story out of you, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Little we know, a couple more years down the road, then turned into Brockmeyer.
I have friends of mine. I have a friend of mine, Randy Isles. I mean, Gary Goloshevsky and I were laughing about this last night. Randy loves Brockmeyer. And I mean, I've seen it a few times. I think it's very, very good. Okay, but now he's got Gary watching it.
I've got two episodes left to go, and I've got season one done. But yeah, it's extremely comical. It's edgy to warn people that's never seen it. It can be quite edgy. Yes.
Let's start with the opening scene of the entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's edgy. But where he's talking about how mad he is at his wife on the air. This is what costs him his job in Kansas City. He does the typical announcer deal where, and the 2-2 foul straight back. I'm telling you, she's got da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and tap foul, third base side, still 2-2. And I've got a real problem with it. And he goes through all this diatribe, which is edgy to say the least. But he's very talented. The team he now broadcasts for in Pennsylvania is what the Millers Town Frackers or something like that.
Frackers, yeah.
Right? And I guess there's an oil company that I guess has an option to buy the land, or they have something, an option on the team or something like that. And the entire idea is they want them to go bankrupt because they want to be able to get the oil underneath the ballpark.
And it's funny because the head of that company used to date the owner of the team. And
right, yeah, exactly.
So you have that other storyline working there. So, yeah, I'm up to the next to last episode where Joe Buck has a cameo. So that's the next one I got to watch.
Well, they do on this thing. There's only 8 episodes of it.
Right, I'm up to 7, yeah.
All right, and it was on, what, IFC?
Correct. Yeah, debut back in April.
And Randy loves Brockmeyer. He'll just walk up to you, Brockmeyer. Okay.
Well, it's fine, because back at a couple months ago at the Purdy tournament, we were talking about the show. We were on the couple holes left to go in the tournament. We ended up discussing it. Yeah, you shared your Hank story with the guys when you met him. It was cool.
Yeah. No, the only part, there was one down moment. That was the part we had to explain to the suit who Hank Azaria was, and we had to explain what Brockmeyer was. I mean, when you got to explain a lot of stuff, it kind of takes away, don't you think?
Well, you know, we're still trying to cleanse the palate from the wife's birthday story. So,
Craig and Dave and you were completely on board, and then all of us had to stop. And we all had to explain. We're like, okay, hold on. And we're laughing, you know. And this is one of those suit moments.
And the funny part is the one guy out of the group I didn't think they'd watch Brockmeyer is the chief, and he was well-versed in this.
Oh, the chief was absolutely into Brockmeyer.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah.
Brockmeyer. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, it's back for a second season, but we're going to have to wait a while for that. So it'll be back for a second season. Oh, I always laughed at the assistant that's up there with him. Right, the really good kid who's like, he's sitting there watching this self-destruction go on. Oh, my goodness.
We got to build your brand. You need to start podcasting.
Yeah, you need to build your brand. You need to start this podcast. What?
This kid's out there flinging his phone in my face. Yeah, he has X number of million fans on Instagram. And he
right.
Just
exactly. X amount of million. Right. Now, I know that, obviously, I've had people say, you know, you should do social media. And, like, look, I think everybody knows how I feel about that. But for young people out there, some of these people have 500,000, 750,000, a million followers. It's unbelievable.
I don't even have 1,000 on Twitter. I'm lucky if I get to 900.
I have zero.
Our show page has close to 2,000. Follow us at Steve Jones PSU on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. How's that doing, by the way?
It's doing great.
Great.
Thanks for asking.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.